Chapter 29. The Dream.
"It comes down to this," said Hermione, rubbing her forehead. "Either Mr. Crouch attacked Victor, or somebody else attacked both of them when Victor wasn't looking."
"It must have been Crouch," said Ron at once. "That's why he was gone when Harry and Dumbledore got there. He'd done a runner."
"I don't think so," said Harry, shaking his head. "He seemed really weak. I don't reckon he was up to disapparating or anything."
"You can't disapparate on the Hogwarts grounds. Haven't I told you enough times?" said Hermione. "Okay. How's this for a theory?" said Ron excitedly. "Crumb attacked Crouch. No, wait for it. And then stunned himself. And Mr. Crouch evaporated, did he?" said Hermione coldly.
"Oh, yeah." It was daybreak. Harry, Ron and Hermione had crept out of their dormitories very early and hurried up to the Owlry together to send a note to Sirius. Now they were standing looking out at the misty grounds. All three of them were puffy-eyed and pale because they had been talking late into the night about Mr. Crouch.
"Just go through it again, Harry," said Hermione. "What did Mr. Crouch actually say?"
"I've told you, he wasn't making much sense," said Harry. "He said he wanted to warn Dumbledore about something. He definitely mentioned Bertha Jorkins, and he seemed to think she was dead. He kept saying stuff was his fault. He mentions his son."
"Well, that was his fault," said Hermione testily.
"He was out of his mind," said Harry. "Half the time he seemed to think his wife and son were still alive, and he kept talking to Percy about work and giving him instructions.
And remind me what he said about you-know-who," said Ron tentatively.
"I've told you," Harry repeated dully. "He said he's getting stronger."
There was a pause. Then Ron said in a falsely confident voice,
"But he was out of his mind, like you said, so half of it was probably just raving."
"He was sanest when he was trying to talk about Voldemort," said Harry, and Ron winced at the sound of the name. "He was having real trouble stringing two words together, but that was when he seemed to know where he was and know what he wanted to do. He just kept saying he had to see Dumbledore."
Harry turned away from the window and stared up into the rafters. The many perches were half empty. Every now and then another owl would swoop in through one of the windows, returning from its night's hunting with a mouse in its beak.
"If Snape hadn't held me up," said Harry bitterly, "we might have got there in time. The headmaster's busy, Potter. What's this rubbish, Potter? Why couldn't he have just got out of the way?"
"Maybe he didn't want you to get there," said Ron quickly. "Maybe, hang on, how fast do you reckon he could have gotten down to the forest? Do you reckon he could have beaten you and Dumbledore there?"
"Not unless he can turn himself into a bat or something," said Harry.
"Wouldn't put it past him," Ron muttered.
"We need to see Professor Moody," said Hermione. "We need to find out whether he found Mr. Crouch."
"If he had the Marauder's map on him, it would have been easy," said Harry.
"Unless Crouch was already outside the grounds," said Ron, "because it only shows up to the boundaries, doesn't—"
"Shh," said Hermione suddenly. Somebody was climbing the steps up to the Owlry. Harry could hear two voices arguing, coming closer and closer.
"That's blackmail, that is. We could get into a lot of trouble for that."
"We've tried being polite. It's time to play dirty like him. He wouldn't like the Ministry of Magic knowing what he did."
"I'm telling you, if you put that in writing, it's blackmail."
"Yeah, and you won't be complaining if we get a nice fat payoff, will you?"